Hi, this is Adam Carroll, host of the Build a Bigger Life podcast. In speaking and traveling all over the world, I meet some of the most interesting people. When I meet someone who embodies what it means to me to be the architect of their own life, I invite them to be on the show. The interview you're about to hear is one of these people. Someone who's choosing life over lifestyle, pursuing more of what they love to do and less of what they have to do. The blueprint to get you doing more of what you love is available for download at buildabiggerlife.com. Now, on to the interview. Hey, Life Architects, Adam Carroll here with a solo cast on the Build a Bigger Life podcast. It's been a while since I've done one of these, and I felt like, it was time. Like my people want to hear from me, not necessarily someone else. And today's topic involves a story or two or three, and a principle that I want you to think about and I want you to apply to your life to help make your life bigger in general. I heard this philosophy that I think makes life just a little bit easier when dealing with other people. And let's face it, other people are generally what makes life a little less tolerable sometimes. This philosophy that I heard goes something like this. When confronted with a challenge or a problem or a difficult person, you can either be furious or you can be curious. So with that, let me start by telling you this story. I'm a student of human behavior, and especially when I travel, which I do quite often for my job, travel can be challenging, to say the least. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings that may either work for the TSA or have family or friends that work for the TSA, but I found that TSA agents in general don't really love their jobs. They do their jobs for the benefits or the time off or the government pension, hopefully someday. But I don't necessarily think they love what they do. So not too long ago, I was traveling in Philadelphia and traveled to the Philly airport. I had done a speaking engagement there near the airport and then was flying out early the next morning. I think my flight was at 6 or 6:30, which meant that I was at the airport close to 5 o'clock, 5:15, somewhere in there. The morning that I woke up, I thought to myself, as I looked out the window and saw some storm clouds rolling in, it might be a challenging day in the air or on the ground if I can't get in the air, and I need to be really prepared for whatever happens. So I woke up that day in Philly, which is, you know, known as the city of brotherly love, and I just vowed that I was going to have a great day no matter what. Now, when I rolled up to the airport at 5 or 5:15, I got my ticket, got checked in, checked my luggage. Again, thinking, I'm going to make this a great day no matter what. I was one of the first in line in TSA, in the security line, to get into where the gates actually are in the Philadelphia airport. And as I approached the little thing where you walk through and it, you have to put your arms up and it scans your body for metal and all of that. Again, thinking today's going to be a great day no matter what. The first person I encountered was a TSA agent who was taking his job very, very seriously at 5:15 in the morning in the Philadelphia airport. Now, slight sidebar here. I value and respect the people that work for TSA. What they do is important. It's relevant. It keeps travelers safe. So I do not take anything away from them in that regard. I have to imagine that that job is probably the most repetitive and least thankful job, like a completely thankless job that you might possibly ever have. So as I walked through the metal detector and I put my arms up, to myself, I thought, I know this is going to go off. I'm wearing a certain pair of pants that has a zipper on the back pocket. It's kind of a travel pant. And every time I go through a metal detector, it sets the metal detector off. Well, this TSA agent stopped me in my tracks and said this to me, "Sir, you have an anomaly in your buttocks area." And in the moment, I had this thought of, he has no idea who he's messing with today, because I've already decided that it is going to be a great day no matter what. So after he tells me that I have an anomaly in my buttocks area, I turn my head side to the side just so I could see him out of the corner of my eye. And I asked him, do you think it's serious? His coworkers got a laugh out of that. He did not. He thought it was, I was maybe being combative or confrontive to him. And he said, sir, I'm going to have to wand you. To which I replied, knock yourself out, and started to spread my legs, you know, expecting a full-on wanding. And he said, do you want to do it here or in private? And again, in my mind, I'm thinking, you have no idea who you're messing with today, pal. So I asked him, well, it depends. What kind of wand is it? And again, laughter from the folks around him, but he was absolutely dead serious. And I left that whole experience with a smile on my face because I thought initially, this is going to be a great story to tell sometime. And secondly, because I knew that I had chosen to react from a place of curiosity, not being furious. Remember, you can be curious or you can be furious. So I mentioned that I'm a student of human behavior, and I got out of that TSA line after being wanded and grabbed my bag and kept on going down the sidewalk there at the airport. And I went to an Obon Pan where I was going to stop and get a cup of coffee and a bagel or something. And so as I'm standing in line at Obon Pan, there were, again, probably half a dozen or more people in line ordering from a young lady behind the counter named Trisha, who had a visor slung way down over her eyes and was not really making eye contact with anyone. And as people would walk up, Trisha would kind of mutter or mumble under her breath, can I help you? But you could tell that she really didn't want to be there. And as I watched the people in front of me, many of them were almost scoffing at the fact that Trisha wasn't making eye contact with them. Some of them were kind of giving this look, like, can you believe her, to the people behind them in line. And I came up to Trisha, and again, she mumbled, muttered under her visor, can I help you? And I said, you can, but first, how are you today? And Trisha just stopped momentarily, looked up from her cash register, and she said, what is that? And I said, how are you today? You look really tired. I said, but I could imagine that you probably have to get here super early if you're already serving people at 5:15, 5:20 in the morning. And Trisha said, I have to get up at 4:15 to get here on time. So to which I replied, that is brutal. Thank you, first of all, for being here. I can't imagine what that must be like. But the good news is you probably get out early, don't you? You got to leave here at noon or one? And she said, I get off at 1:30. And then I said, oh, that's awesome. Well, now you get to go enjoy the rest of your afternoon. And she said, actually, no, I have class at the community college this afternoon, but tonight I'll get to relax a bit. And then she said, what can I get for you? So I gave her my order. I gave her a high five once I gave her my credit card. And the very next person that she talked to, she said, hi, how can I help you today? Total change in voice, inflection, eye contact, the whole nine yards. And again, what I thought was there are some people that would react being furious, and some people like me would react being curious. I want to know, why is she so tired? Clearly, she had to get up early to go to this thing. And I can't imagine what it would be like to have to get up at 4:15 and either drive or take a bus to the airport to then work at Obon Pan and deal with a bunch of angry travelers who are just told they have an anomaly in their buttocks area. Do you feel me? So here's what happened next. I walked away from the Obon Pan with my coffee and my bagel, feeling good about the interaction I had with Trisha. And about an hour later, they announced that the flight had been delayed and maybe canceled due to weather. Now, what this would entail is probably some misconnections. It would involve potentially changing the route that we're flying. But you can imagine that some people were absolutely furious at the fact that the flight was canceled or delayed. I should say delayed and maybe at worst canceled. In the end, it turned out to be just a bit of a technical issue. And it was about a 30-minute delay, and we ended up getting on the flight. But in that 30-minute delay, what happened was people were storming up to the gate agent and they were literally livid at the fact that they were going to miss their next connection, wherever it may be. But the connection was not even guaranteed to be missed. They were just sort of preemptively striking upon that poor gate agent. And being a student of human behavior, what I noticed was many of them were just literally going apoplectic on the poor person behind the gate. And I'm watching them thinking, do they not understand that this person has absolutely zero control about what happens now, but has, or what has happened up till now, but has 100% control over what happens from this point forward should the flight be delayed or canceled? Here's what I find. People don't necessarily intend to be rude, but I think it's just many have little to no control of their emotions. And the emotions around curiosity or being furious are very simple to define. When you are furious, it could be described as a downward spiral. The downward spiral leads to more negativity and the attraction of more negative or bad situations, while being curious creates an upward spiral. The more questions you ask, whether of yourself or of other people, it leads to more understanding, it leads to growth, it leads to a way to find a win-win scenario for the both of you. Now, I want you to think about this in regards to your daily life, whether it's dealing with people at work, dealing with negative situations at home, dealing with travel that doesn't necessarily go your way. Do you tend to go furious right away, or do you tend to be more curious in nature? Curious is an upward spiral process, while being furious is a downward spiral process. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to build a bigger life, I want you to be very, very intentional about being curious most of the time. And what you'll find is that the more curious you are, the easier challenges and negative situations are resolved, leaving everyone feeling better about it for the long term. With that, may you be eternally curious in your quest to build a bigger life. See you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the show. Every one of my interviewees has certain things in common, which I've summarized in the blueprint available at buildabiggerlife.com. It contains the 9 core tenets extracted from each of the past interviews and will get you started building your own version of a bigger life. If you liked what you heard on the show, please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. Until next time.